This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, are those who defend our freedoms losing theirs? Liberty Institute's Michael Berry is here with a troubling case of a Marine Lance Corporal who was court-martialed. The reason may shock you. And Congress will be headed back to D.C. from their Memorial Day break to try and work out differences over the expiring Patriot Act. The sticking point? Privacy versus protection. Can we have both? Texas Congressman Ted Poe joins me with the answer. That's coming up here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Let me encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics and the guest. Also, while you're there, we don't do this very often, but we're offering something there on the website. It's a pin, and you might not know exactly what it is when you see it, but it's an Arabic N. Now, that N stands for Nazarene. That's what ISIS is painting on the houses of Christians in Iraq and in the Middle East. And we're wearing those. I've been wearing one. Several people have asked me. I've been wearing it for months. What is that? And I tell them, they say, why? And I said, well, we're standing in solidarity with our Christian brothers and sisters in the Middle East. And it's a reminder to pray, but also for us to stand strong here in America for our religious freedom. As we shrink back in the face of this growing intolerance toward Christianity here at home, it sends a message to the tyrants and terrorists abroad that America no longer cares about religious freedom. And as a result, men and women and children who follow Jesus Christ are losing their lives. So to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Well, speaking of defending religious freedom, you know, the Marine Corps has had a proud history of defending all of our freedoms as Americans, and I was proud to wear the uniform of a Marine for a little over 6 years. But what we've seen in the last 6.5 years under this administration is that the freedoms of those who protect our freedoms are being aggressively denied. Now, I understand, and anyone who has served in our nation's military understands that you give up certain rights when you serve in the military, but giving up your religious freedom is not among them. But that is exactly what is happening in the Obama military. Joining me now with news of a shocking legal case with a former Marine Corps Lance Corporal court-martialed for refusing, listen to this, for refusing to remove a Bible verse from her desk is Liberty Institute's Michael Berry. He's senior counsel at Liberty Institute. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you again. Thank you.
Now, Mike, you yourself, you're a veteran of the Marine Corps. Fill our listeners in on this case regarding Lance Corporal Sterling.
Well, this is a pretty outrageous case, Tony. Lance Corporal Sterling is self-identifies as a non-denominational Christian, and she was stationed at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. She worked in the communications section there, and in her workplace, which of course has a lot of computers and other types of electronic equipment, she noticed that other people were posting personal messages or pictures or drawings or things like that. And so she wanted to put something personal to her up, and she cut out she printed on a piece of paper and cut it out a Bible verse. And that was actually kind of a personalized version of a verse from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And she wrote on this, or she printed on this paper, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper," which is kind of a variation of "No weapon formed against you will prosper," which is what the verse says in Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, needless to say, her supervisor, her staff NCO, ordered her to take it down, referring to the Bible verse using an expletive, using profanity. And Lance Corporal Sterling said, basically, isn't it my First Amendment right to have, a Bible verse up if other people are allowed to put their stuff up? Don't I have a First Amendment right as well? And the supervisor basically said, well, I don't like the tone of the verse. So later that day or that evening, the supervisor actually tore down the verse herself, threw it in the trash. The next morning, Lance Corporal Sterling had discovered that the verse had been torn down and thrown in the trash. So she reprinted it again and reposted it. And for that, she was tried and convicted at a court-martial for the offense of disobeying an order.
And that is rather shocking to me, and I know that, as I said, you've been in the, you spent over a decade in the Marine Corps, and I was in the administration shop for a portion of my 6 years, and to reach the level of a court martial is pretty significant, because normally they go through what's called in the Marine Corps office hours, where it's non-judicial punishment. That would seem more of an appropriate response in a case like this, as opposed to going straight to a court-martial.
Absolutely. We shouldn't even call it an offense or misconduct or anything like that. You know, when Marines and all service members, for that matter, you know, raise their right hand and swear the oath to support and defend this Constitution, one of the aspects of that oath is that they will obey the lawful orders of those appointed over
right,
them.
Right.
It doesn't say any and all orders. It's lawful orders. So I think Lance Corporal Sterling was right. Her intuition was right that probably was not a lawful or legal order that she was being given to tear down a Bible verse.
Right.
But then, you know, as you point out as well, this type of incident, is something that should, and Marines are taught to handle things. In fact, you receive extensive training on how to handle things at the lowest level possible without escalating things needlessly. And really, this is something where this should have been what we would refer to in the Marine Corps as a counseling session, where the supervisor and the subordinate or the junior Marine will just simply sit down and have a talk and discuss, okay, what are the expectations? What am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? And if the supervisor is not sure whether she's acting within the law, then she has an obligation to go to her boss and say, look, I don't want, you know, I'm asking her to remove this Bible verse and she doesn't think that's a lawful order. What's the honest scoop here? And so on. And that's how these things are supposed to be resolved. You don't court-martial somebody. And in this case, you know, she's going to have a criminal conviction on her record now, I mean, which is just outrageous.
Right. That's my point, Michael, is that, okay, let's just take the Bible verse out for a moment and just say she disobeyed an order. Disobeying an order would not rise, in this situation, would not rise, from my experience, to the level of a court-martial. But to your point, the whole issue of was it a lawful order that you have to take down a Bible verse, an expression of your religious faith, which, by the way, we were involved in, we've talked quite a bit about this, in the National Defense Authorization Act, made clear that religious beliefs included religious expression. Congress passed that a couple of years ago. My question, Michael, is, to me, this seems like one of two things. One, either there is a complete tone deafness in our nation's military, in particular here in this case in the Marine Corps, to religious freedom and expression, or this is further evidence of the outright hostility of this administration, really, I think, motivated to drive religious expression from our nation's military.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And I encourage our listeners to log on to the webpage we created for this called sterlingfacts.com, you know, sterling and then facts.com, and to just read the opinion of the lower court in this case and see what they have to say about a federal law called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that protects the rights of all Americans from government, basically censorship or restriction of religious expression, specifically within the federal workplace, which includes, of course, our military. I mean, mm-hmm. RFRA, as the law is known, applies directly to the military and to our service members. And this court actually says, no, it doesn't, because we don't think that what Lance Corporal Sterling did was really a religious act or religious exercise. I mean, and for crying out loud, she posted a Bible verse and even at her court-martial, she raised RFRA as a defense and saying, look, I think there's this federal law that should, and I want to be clear on this, Tony, RFRA doesn't guarantee an outcome, right? It doesn't mm-hmm. guarantee that she can't be punished for anything that she does
right.
just by simply covering it with, with a blanket called religion.
Right.
It just means
right.
there's a process that the government has to go through, that the prosecutors have to go through, and it holds the government to that standard. And in this case, the court said, well, we don't have to apply that test, or we don't have to apply that process, because we don't think, you know, this is a court is deciding now what is or is not somebody's religious belief. And that cannot stand in this country unchallenged.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Michael Berry, the Liberty Institute. Michael, I want to talk about that for just a moment. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which you made reference to, that Lance Corporal Sterling raised in her defense, this is a recognition that religious freedom is a fundamental freedom of which the government has to go to great lengths to show that they can infringe upon that. Now, it doesn't, as you said, doesn't guarantee outcomes. If the government can make a valid case that there's no other way for them to accomplish what they need to accomplish, then they might infringe upon that. But it is as a last resort, because it's understood this is a fundamental freedom.
That's right. You know, and RFRA was passed by, I should mention, a bipartisan, almost unanimous Congress, signed into law with great eloquence by President Clinton, who spoke very right. positively about RFRA and what it would do for our nation. So it's not as if this is, this has been around for a long time on our books. And as you said, Tony, it's an acknowledgement of the importance and the value that Americans place on religious freedom. That's why Congress passed that law. They specifically, legislative history of that, talked about its importance in being applied to the military. And yet here we have a federal court, a military court, now ignoring that history, ignoring that precedence, and saying, well, if we say it doesn't apply, then it doesn't apply. And so that's why this case is so important. And also, people get the facts for themselves at sterlingfacts.com and see, we're not saying that RFRA should guarantee a result here. All we're saying is that in this nation of laws, that we are entitled to due process, and RFRA guarantees that process when it involves religious expression or religious exercise, and the lower court here is ignoring that. So we're really want the court that we're before now, the highest court in the military, the Court of Appeals for Armed Forces, to see how important this issue is, because this will set precedent. If the lower court's decision is left to stand unchallenged, then my fear is that the government can then point to that and say, look, right there, United States versus Sterling, our government was able to say, no, RFRA doesn't apply. Why? Well, because we decided it wasn't religious enough in nature. You know, we get to decide what is or is not your religious beliefs. Mm. And I think that should give people pause for concern in this nation.
I think you're absolutely right. Michael Berry, thanks so much for being with us. As always, appreciate the great work that Liberty Institute does.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony.
All right, Michael Berry with Liberty Institute. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Follow the links over. He is absolutely right. This is a critical issue because it does set precedent. This is the first time that RFRA has been a portion of military action in terms of discrimination toward members based on their religious beliefs. It is important that this case is appealed and won, that they're able to go forward and successfully defend the rights of those who serve in our nation's military to have not just religious beliefs, not just to hold something between your two ears, but to actually be able to express it. And it's very clear the National Defense Authorization Act, which we work to change the language of, is very clear it can't interfere with military mission. We understand that. But having a verse on your desk, you're going to have to really, really, you're going to have to stretch to say that somehow impacts your mission when others have sayings and slogans in their workspaces. All right, folks, you're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us this weekend. Still to come, more on the topic of freedom. Congressman Ted Poe joins us as we talk about privacy and protection. Can we have both? Congressman Ted Poe joins me to discuss the USA Freedom Act and the Patriot Act. That's coming up next here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. On September 25th through the 27th, plan to be at this year's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. to stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed and invited speakers include Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, the Benham Brothers, Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Franklin Graham, Megyn Kelly, Governors Bobby Jindal, Scott Walker, Mary Fallon, Jeb Bush, and Sam Brownback. Senators Ted Cruz, Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, and Rand Paul, Representative Paul Ryan, and many more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, life and marriage, national security, government overreach, and much more. Register before May 1st for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This September, stand with us to preserve this great nation. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Institute, Ohio Christian University, and Family Research Council. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks for joining us. Well, privacy versus protection. Can we have both? Can we strike a balance between these two important interests that are often at odds with each other, national security and privacy rights? How do we protect Americans in their privacy while respecting the nation's distrust of, the government, quite frankly? Well, the issue I'm referring to is a contentious section of the Patriot Act that is set to expire this coming week, that has allowed the National Security Agency, the NSA, to engage in bulk data collection of things like phone records as a part of our national effort to locate and combat terrorism. Now, privacy right activists would like to see this section sunset, while national security hawks would like to see the Patriot Act strengthened. Now, somewhere in the middle is the USA Freedom Act, a bill that passed in the House earlier this month by a vote of 338-88, but failed to clear a procedural vote in the Senate last weekend. Now, the Senate will be headed back to town to try and resolve their differences before this law expires. Now, I'll be very candid. When many of the states moved forward with Patriot Acts after the National Act, and I opposed it. Quite frankly, I don't like an overly aggressive state. I understand the right and the need to protect our security from hostile forces. But I also think we have to have a healthy distrust of our government. I think the founders did. And I think it's important to have that tension and balance. Well, joining us to shed light on this legislation is a frequent guest here on Washington Watch, good friend of FRC, good friend of mine. He's a member of the House Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, Homeland Security, and Investigations. He's Congressman Ted Poe of Texas. Congressman, thanks for joining us.
Always good to talk to you, Tony.
Now, what are the essential differences between how the Patriot Act has operated and the changes that the USA Freedom Act propose?
The Section 215 of the Patriot Act is a tool that the government uses to seize bulk data of not only so-called foreign terrorists, if you will, but it seizes, the government overreaches and seizes that data of Americans. The easiest way to do it, to explain it, would be the NSA seizes all the phone in the United States without a warrant, without probable cause. Now, two courts, lower court and appellate court, recently have ruled that action by the NSA is illegal. It's unconstitutional, and Section 215 does not allow the government to do it, but the government has done it. The USA Freedom Act that passed the House says NSA cannot seize bulk data. So the USA Freedom Act agrees with the court decision, and so that passed the House. It's in the Senate, and the Senate has not gotten enough votes to pass the USA Freedom Act. Now the Senate is in the quandary of passing Section 215 without any changes or not passing it. And that's where they are, trying to work out some kind of compromise, because they cannot, they don't have the votes to pass the USA Freedom Act. The argument, as you have articulated, is between those who say we have got to have this information so that we can catch the bad guys, mm-hmm. The terrorists. Mm-hmm. Those of us on the other side say that we are giving up our constitutional right of privacy in the name of false security.
Right.
The reason I say that is because 2 years ago, I asked Deputy Attorney General Cole, how many people have been indicted under this mass seizure of data? And he said, maybe one. And recent government reports show in the last couple of weeks that they really don't have anybody that they have indicted based upon the mass seizure. So first of all, it is not something that is being used to collect information on bad guys, because no indictments have resulted except maybe one. But it is information that belongs to Americans, and it's being seized by our government, another privacy violation. And so that's where we are on this, and the Senate has got to decide whether or not they're going to support the Constitution, federal court decision, or whether they're going to try to pass, reauthorize Section 215 without any changes.
So, Congressman Poe, so our listeners understand the dynamics in the Senate. Who is blocking it? Is behind this the desire to have that entire section struck from the Patriot Act, or is it that there's a majority, or at least there's not a majority, that wants to protect the privacy of citizens? What is the dynamic there in the Senate?
It goes back to this 60-vote decision. The Senate requires 60 votes to really pass anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there are not 60 votes in the Senate. There are 56, I believe, that are in favor of the USA Freedom Act, and not 60.
So does the USA Freedom Act, Congressman Poe, go far enough to protect Americans from an overly intrusive government, or is this kind of a compromise?
It doesn't go far enough, and it's a compromise of sorts. Here's the reason. There's another piece of legislation, the FISA reauthorization, or the FISA bill. In the FISA law, Section 702 allows government to seize not just data, but the conversations of phones, emails, and text messages of Americans. The 80 of us that voted against the USA Freedom Act, many of us voted against it because it did not go far enough.
Mm-hmm.
We need to repeal Section 702 of the FISA Act, because this is much more intrusive. The government, without a warrant on the Fourth Amendment, without probable cause, and without knowledge of Americans, can use Section 702 of the FISA law and seize the content of phone calls, text messages, and emails. And this is awful. Our government doing this, and they're doing it in the name of, well, we have to protect you. We have to protect the citizenry. And so it doesn't go far enough. We need to repeal both Section 215 and Section 702 of the FISA law.
And I should mention, for the benefit of our listeners, that Congressman Poe, before he was elected congressman, was a judge in the state of Texas, so he is very well versed in the law. Congressman, explain FISA for the benefit of our listeners. What is FISA?
FISA allows for government to use special courts. They're called FISA courts, to gather information on supposedly foreign intelligence. And it's being abused because it's gathering information on Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole system is very suspect, in my opinion. The FISA courts meet in secret. They're not a public trial. They meet in secret because those who want to say that we need the security don't want that information getting out. So they have a FISA judge. Somebody goes before them and gets a FISA warrant, not necessarily based on probable cause at all. And that warrant from this judge in secret allows government to go and seize information. Supposedly, it's to be used against foreign nationals that are trying to do us harm. And so this section is being abused. It's not only seizing information of foreign nationals, but they're seizing information of Americans without a search warrant. My only issue is simple. If you want to get that information on Americans, great. Get a
warrant.
Regular search warrant from a judge. investigates your probable cause, and if you got a search warrant, then you can seize the information. But searching without a warrant of Americans is in violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Absolutely. And I support you, Congressman, on opposing this because I agree. And I think it was Benjamin Franklin, I paraphrase him, but he said, those who give up essential liberty for the promise of security deserve neither. And I think that's where we're headed. If we just listen to the promises of government to keep us safe while we surrender essential liberty, which are constitutional liberties, I think we're going to be sorry at the end.
You're right, Tony. And once those freedoms are given up or lost or taken, like the right of privacy, the Fourth Amendment, you don't get them back.
Right.
They're gone.
Right.
And governments throughout history, whether it's democracy or not a democracy, have always tried to get more information on the citizenry in the name of protecting the country from bad guys. So we could have both in this country, the government has already shown that it has been abusive in violating, I think, constitutional rights in Section 215 and Section 702 already.
Mm-hmm.
So let's rein in the government, make them follow the Constitution. We can be safe, and we can also have our absolute right of privacy under the Fourth Amendment.
And I think you are absolutely right, Congressman Ted Poe. Thanks so much for being with us, Ted.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Congressman Ted Poe of Texas. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. As I mentioned, Congressman Poe is one of several, of many. There's actually some great men and women who are serving in Congress, and those are the ones we bring to you on this program, so you know that you are not without a voice in Washington, D.C. But pray for them, support them, encourage them. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, and send a note, if you will, to Congressman Poe and thank him for standing for your freedoms. All right, folks, we're out of time for this weekend edition of Washington Watch. Thanks so much for joining us. Let me leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, no matter how difficult it may become, no matter how challenging it may be, just keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.